This is NewsHour, live from the BBC with me, Tim Franks. We're still some months away from the next big United Nations climate summit. Indeed, COP28, as it's called, is due to be held right at the end of the year. And yet there's already a great big hoo-ha over who will be presiding over those potentially crucial talks. The summit will be held in the United Arab Emirates, and the man who's just been given the presidency of COP28, in other words, the task of cajoling and coercing the world's nations into hugely important commitments to curb greenhouse gas emissions, to effect the transition to renewables, and to fund poorer countries in their efforts to deal with the ravages of climate change, past, present, and future. The man in charge of all that is going to be Sultan Al Jaber, who also happens to be the boss of the UAE National Oil Company. Climate activists have been in uproar. It's like putting a cigarette manufacturer in charge of a conference on cancer cures, they've said. Well, today, Denmark's climate minister, Dan Jurgensen, met the incoming COP president in Dubai. So let's hear from him. What does he think Sultan Al Jaber will bring to the job?
Well, my impression is that this is a very ambitious presidency, and that they want to raise ambitions for the global community on both mitigation, so that we bring down the emissions of greenhouse gases, but also on financing. So some people might say, well, isn't it a little bit strange that it's an oil-producing country that does this? I would actually turn it around and say, well, we need oil-producing countries to also have this ambition if we are to stay below 1.5 degrees in temperature increase, because we cannot achieve that target unless we also have some of the countries aboard, or rather all of the countries aboard that today produces fossil fuels.
He's CEO of a state oil company that wants to pretty much double the amount of oil that it was pumping from 2021 by next year, up to 5 million barrels per day. I mean, did he give any indication that he's going to change tack on that?
We discussed, obviously, the agenda for the COP28 and not so much internal domestic policies in the president's own country. But it's very clear that the UAE has also invested very substantial amounts, not only in their own country, but across the planet, in renewables. And I think that what we need to do, by we I mean the countries that really wish for an ambitious result, is to say, okay, we need all countries on this planet on board. We need all countries to raise their ambitions. We should all start a conversation about how to transition away from that. And the United Arab Emirates have said that they will applaud the day when the last barrel of oil is sold. Not all oil-producing countries say that, unfortunately.
Mm. I mean, I totally understand that, you know, this Sultan Al Jaber, he's not just head of the state oil company, he's also president of the COP28 climate talks. And therefore, you know, you're not going to spend time discussing necessarily national energy policy within the UAE. But, I mean, you do get my point, don't you? that if he's encouraging fossil fuel producers to bear down on production, and yet he is presiding over the second largest expansion of oil and gas production anywhere in the world. You know, the countries that he's trying to persuade to produce less oil and gas might sort of look at him and say, really?
I'm from a country, Denmark, that used to be the biggest oil producer and gas producer in the EU. But what we decided to do is, one, put an end date to the exploration and extraction of oil and gas in 2050 in alignment with the Paris Agreement, and also to stop all future licensing rounds. So what I can do in conversations with other oil-producing countries around the planet, that goes also, by the way, for the UK, is to say, listen, we can actually make a transition where you don't hurt your economy of your country in a way that's not possible to deal with, but actually you make a just transition where you make sure that the people working in the fossil industry get a new job, where you make sure that the money that you earn and that you use to finance your, in Denmark's case, welfare state, you will make them on renewables instead. I think that if we are to have a global conversation on this, it cannot just be two opposites shouting at each other. One side saying we want to produce as much oil as possible as long as we can, and another side saying you need to stop tomorrow. We need to find a way of negotiating an outcome that is in alignment with the Paris Agreement. We need to sit in the same room at the same table discussing these issues. And if we don't do that, then I don't see really how we will save the planet from climate change. This also goes for oil producing countries. If we don't talk to them and negotiate with them, I don't see how we can get them to actually go through the transformation and the transition that we hope for.
And that was Denmark's climate minister, Dan Jurgensen.